I think I heard this song the first time about 1968 or 9, something like that. Heard it at Dr. Peter Ruckman's church, First Baptist Church of Brent, Pensacola, Florida, and it's one of my favorite songs. Fairest of 10,000 is Jesus Christ, my Savior. The lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He is all my glory, and in this heart of mine, forevermore I'm singing this song of love divine. 'Tis the song of the soul set free, and the melody is ringing. 'Tis the song of the soul set free. Joy and peace to me is bringing. 'Tis the song of the soul set free. And my heart is ever singing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The song of the soul set free. Once my heart was burdened, but now I am forgiven. And with the song of gladness, I'm on my way to heaven. Christ is my Redeemer. My song of songs is He. My Savior, Lord, and Master, to Him my praise shall be. When He came to save me, He set the joy bells ringing, and now I'm ever singing, for Christ has ransomed me. Once I lived in darkness, the light I could not see, but now I sing His praises, for He has set me free. 'Tis the song of the soul set free, and the melody is ringing. 'Tis the song of the soul set free. Joy and peace to me is bringing. 'Tis the song of the soul set free, and my heart is ever singing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, the song of the soul set free.
That song says the soul set free. Amen. Are you free this morning? Do you know? Whenever this whole life is over, that you have a home in heaven waiting on you. Amen. Boy, I appreciate that, brother. I don't know where our choir leader went. Wherever he's at, there's a guy we need to sign up. Amen. And a few others of you on there there's one thing about a choir. If you got a few that can sing and a bunch that can't, the ones that can will help out the ones that can't. Amen? Now, getting up here by yourself and singing a cappella, let me tell you something. There's a fear factor there. Even Carl, who's sung for years, all it takes is one little note off, buddy, and the whole world knows it. Amen? I remember an opportunity to get to sing the national anthem before. And let me tell you something. That's a difficult song to sing. You get in front of a large crowd of people, and you've got to sing that. And buddy, you feel it, amen. If you hit them notes, man, it's glorious. If you miss them notes, oh buddy, it's bad. Or if you forget the words, you ever seen that happen? Another tough time. But I do want to welcome you this morning. If you're visiting, I know we've got. Anybody visiting, first timers on this side. I didn't think we had anybody. I know there's one over here, Kadesia, Kara. I know your sister, but Kara, it's good to see you. What grade are you in now? Huh? 11th grade goes to Lee, right? J.D., I'm going to put you at lead on. I done told you that twice there, but we picked her up on the bus when she was about, oh, goodness, 7, 8 years old. Yeah, and when they lived over off of Old Selma Road back here, and I miss her and her sisters, and I know y'all miss us, don't you? We had a great time. Praise the Lord for you, and tell your sister we missed her. But anybody else, you youngins, we're going to turn you loose in just a second. Anybody else visiting? I know on the back row back there. Sister, what's your name? Tell us one more time. Wanda, we're glad to have you with us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Make yourself at home today. Anybody else visiting? I didn't think so. Well, we're going to turn Junior Church loose. Who's got Junior Church this morning? You got the little ones, right? Who's doing the big ones? I don't think we got a big one. I didn't think so. Big ones going to have to stay with me today. Just the little ones. And a nursery. You all right, brother? You're all right. The little ones will go. Everybody else turn two places. While they're going out here, by the way, you felt a little bit of heat come on. I figured out this system over here is on now. But we do have a nursery if you need it. Turn to Genesis chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 11. There they go. I got to turn the heat off. I got it down to six. Who's comfortable? Raise your hand. Who's cold? Raise your hand. Look at this, brother. You deer hunter. Who's hot? Who's hot in here? Y'all going through the change. That's what's wrong with y'all. Amen. Y'all need to get, you'll be okay. Deer hunters are out there. I got to tell you something funny. I had to get my wife some air in her tire in her car yesterday. I had to get her some air. And I didn't have any money. The intake thing was broke, so she had gone to Walmart. I had to drive a car to Walmart for her to give me a dollar. I didn't have a penny. I got down there to Murphy Gas Place up there in Millbrook, right in front of the Walmart, to get air. And I got up there, and you got to pay for you got to pay a dollar to get air now. Ain't that messed up? And I got up there, and I got my four quarters now. It was cold last night, about 8 o'clock. It was cold, so I got the thing in there. I put the four quarters in. It comes on, and I go over there, and I thought, well, I figured I got a few minutes to get this air, so I'll just do all four tires. I went around and done the one on the right front, left front, right front, right back, and the one that was low was on the left back. As I come around the corner, the thing goes, and I'm thinking, man. What am I going to do now? This tire needs air. So I went to the front. I'm standing up there. This time I'm standing up there. There was a guy there. Remind me of Brother Troy. I can pick on him today. But anyway, but Troy, this boy had on shorts, flip-flops, and a tank top. And he was standing in line there, and he turns around and he says, "Y'all hurry up, I'm cold." And I said, "Well, yeah, buddy, I bet you're cold, amen." But he said, "I've been deer hunting." He said, "I took all my deer hunting stuff off because I was cold, got in the car and turned on the heater." I thought, well, I'll put my deer hunting stuff back on, amen. But, you know, as Forrest Gump said a long time ago, stupid is as stupid does. And but anyway, make a long story short, I didn't have another dollar. I only had a dollar. And I didn't have a dollar. I said, "Ma'am, your machine quit working too early." And I said, no, I'm just too, she said, "You're too slow." I said, "No, the machine quit too early. I got one more tire." That lady, I thought, it's not going to work. But she actually reached into the cash register and got me another dollar, and I put air in my wife's tire. So, honey, where'd she go? You got air in your tires, praise the Lord. I had a flat tire. I'd be changing out there. It was cold. Oh, man, it was cold. I couldn't move as quick as I wanted to out there. And I think the lady felt sorry for me. Either that or pitied me or something. No, I don't care. I just wanted to get the air in the tires. But look to Hebrews first, and we'll come back to both of these verses. Hebrews chapter 11, if you found your place, hold your place to that. I mean, we're to Hebrews, but also hold a place in Genesis 6. Let's all stand this morning as we honor the Word of God today. Just one verse in each place. We will come back to each. But in Hebrews chapter number 11, if you will look at verse number 7. Hebrews 11, verse number 7. The scripture says in Hebrews 11, 7, "By faith," underline that, "Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with what? With fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." You better underline that word "heir" there, my friends, because that is you and me. We're attached to what he did that day. Now, back all the way up to Genesis again. In Genesis, you'll see in chapter number 6 and verse number 8, another very familiar verse to most of you here in the church, Genesis 6, 8, the scripture says, but Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's pray. God, this morning I'm thankful, Lord, today for grace. I'm thankful today, God, that faith, it took the grace of God in man to have faith in God, to trust what God's Word says. And Lord, today I do thank you, Lord, this morning for the mercy that you show. And God, the graciousness that you show us today in a world that's upside down many times in many ways. We have today the hope of glory because of what Jesus did for us. And this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you'll bless, Lord. I know we've got a lot of folks missing, folks traveling, folks out, some sick, some just too cold for them to get out today. And I recognize that, Lord. I'm glad it wasn't too hard for you to go to Calvary. I'm glad today, Lord, that it wasn't too hard for you to get up and to go and to pay the price for our sin. Lord, I thank you for that, Lord, this morning. Help us, Lord God, to be mindful that Sunday is your day. It is the Lord's day. It's a day that we do come to worship, and we thank and praise you for all that you've done, Father. We'll give praise and honor to Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's good to have the Culberts back with us. They've been on a cruise off down in the middle of nowhere there. Amen. Said he got off in Miami. It was in the 70s there. I put a note on there. You better throw the suntan lotion away and get the clothes and stuff because it's going to be cold when you get off the airplane in Atlanta, praise the Lord. But they've made it back safe. Glad for that, praise the Lord. But, you know, the truth is, I think it'd be easy for us this morning to say that we're living in very dark days. Amen? I think it's safe to say that if you think about storms, I think if we really want to get right down to it, it's easy for us as a nation that's known as America today to look and see the clouds. I don't know how much you pay attention to storms, but when storms come in, they come in, you can see the clouds rolling in, and you know what? It's not long before you'll see the lightning and the thunder and all the things that comes with storms. And, you know, sometimes I like to sit on the front porch at the house and watch these storms. You know what? It tells me, first of all, usually you get that lightning and all of the build, and then all of a sudden the wind will pick up a little bit. But just in a few minutes, you'll look and you'll see that wall coming, which is the rain. Amen? That rain will roll in here in Alabama. And listen, we get an overabundance of rain. I thank God for it. But you know, in our lives, Noah understood what God was telling him about the storm that was coming, even though he had never seen a storm like this. He had never seen rain like this, but he understood it. Now, I want to tell you today, this morning, that we are in a storm. Understand this. We are in a storm. The clouds have rolled up. The lightning is going on. The lightning is flashing. The thunder is rolling, and we can hear it, and we're in a storm. But and people today will say this, and I want to be positive on this morning. People will say, well, we just got to give up on America. We just got to quit work. It's not going to work. America is lost. We just got to give up on this. I'm glad that when Noah saw the storms coming, amen, that Noah did not give up. Amen. I'm glad that Noah didn't say, I'm just not going to do what God told me to do. I'm glad that Noah was willing to be the man of God that he was, and to trust God. And listen, I don't think we give up on America. Amen? I know that we've got folks in our nation now that believe, you boys, put that stuff down, okay? Put it down. Quit playing with it. The truth of the matter is, they think that America's done. I'm not big into politics. I got to be honest with you. I'm sickened almost of watching TV, and it's going to get worse as we head toward the election. I realize that, but politicians will say anything in the world to get you to vote for them, and I know that. There's none of them out there. They're just like me and you. They are sinners, and some of them are lost sinners, by the way. They don't know the Lord. I recognize that, but I don't think it's time for the church to give up on America. Amen? I don't think it's time for us to sit down and just watch the storm clouds come in. I think it's time for us to do what Noah did and build an ark. Amen? I think it's time for us to be obedient to what God told us to do and to go into a world that's lost and is on their way to hell and to quit teetle-totting around with the things of God. The people in Noah's day were in trouble. They didn't. They surely they made fun of Noah, no doubt. But listen, and people make fun of us as fundamental type churches that preach this Bible right here. They call me a Bible thumper. Amen. I have no problem with that. Call me what you will. I believe this book. Amen. I trust this book. I believe this book right here tells us how to be saved. I believe this book tells us how to get to heaven. Amen. And I want to take as many people with me as I possibly can. Amen. The trouble of the day, though, is that the world today doesn't believe this book. There was a time when the Word of God was trusted. People listened. If God's Word said it, they believed it and they obeyed it. Today, they not only disobey it, but they don't even believe it. Many don't even believe that there is a God. I know that. But you know, before the Lord comes back, I want to remind you of something. Noah's day was wicked. Amen. You can read the chapters there. Noah's day was wicked. And the Bible tells us that during this period of time, that that there was wickedness was great on the earth. And it says every imagination of thought, everything that was going on was wicked. But you know, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But listen, the Bible tells us before the second coming of Christ, before the Lord returns, I'm talking about the second coming now, that this world is not going to get better. By the way, Matthew chapter 24 says that the days of Noah will be a lot like the days of Noah. And by the way, we're there right now. The imagination is wickedness. I was talking to someone, I know it was Miss Gertie. She's not here this morning, but she asked me a question yesterday. She said, "Brother Lester, Is it my television?" She says, "But is everything on television now?" She says, "On all these television stations, is people just taking their clothes off? Is it just filthy language on TV? Is it?" And the answer to that is absolutely yes. Whether you're watching Channel 12, Channel 8, Channel 20, whether you're watching Fox. By the way, I'm just going to tell you folks who watch that Fox network, I think the reason they call it Fox is because the women on there ain't got any clothes on, just to be honest with you. That's a free one there, but they sit up there with their short dresses on, praise the Lord, and they just think it's going to be all right because they are quote unquote, that is a conservative station. Well, I got news for you. There's an old-fashioned word used to be called modesty. Now, that don't fall into place today. Women today, listen, I love y'all. I love you, but I want to tell you something. Modesty is still in this book. And by the way, it is something we've got to be mindful of. But Noah lived in this day, and we know the days. But listen, it'd be easy just to say, listen, we're going to heaven, amen? Let's just get us, I got to say moon pie, but I got to be honest with you. I had a cup of coffee this morning. I ate breakfast this morning at 5 o'clock. Had two eggs, a piece of sausage. I had a big old biscuit, and then I ate a big old hunk of Deborah's banana nut bread, amen, and then I drank a cup of coffee, and then I got a cookie after that, and then I come to church this morning and drank two more cups of coffee back there and ate a oatmeal pie cake, amen, so I'm ready to go. I'll be eating lunch in just a little bit, amen. It'll be a good day, but the problem of it is the Lord's going to come back. The Lord's going to come back. Listen, Matthew 24 says it's going to be just like the days of Noah at the second coming of Christ. And could we be there now? I think we can see the storm clouds rolling. I think we can see. See, people said, "Oh, the Lord ain't coming back. That ain't never going to happen." One of these days, folks, it's going to happen. One of these days, it's going to happen. And what do we as a church do? Listen to me. What did Noah do? Noah obeyed God and built the ark as God told him to do. Now, our ark today, this is free, is Jesus Christ. We need to be taking as many people to heaven as we possibly can and quit fooling around. I want us to have a church here that does a lot of things. I want us to have a lot going on over that cow pasture one day and have hundreds of children here and have ball games going on and cooking hot dogs and fried chicken and having singings and all, but our purpose here is surely one purpose, that's to preach the gospel and without any compromise in what we do. But Noah was interesting. If you read a lot about him, I'll get to my points and it'll be quick, but Noah's family, if you look, he had a great-grandfather by the name of Enoch, and his grandfather was a man by the name of Methuselah. Remember him? Now, it's interesting to me, his dad's name was Lamech, who lived to be 700-some years old. But you can read sometime, and you can read it about Enoch. Enoch in Jude verses 14 and 15, read those two verses sometime. And it's interesting, even during that time, most people will tell you they believe that Jude verses 14 and 15 is talking about when the Lord comes back, the second coming. I can buy that. But Enoch, at the time, was talking about God judging this world. Now listen to me. Enoch was talking about God judging the world, and they had no understanding of the second coming. I don't believe they understood that completely, but Enoch did. Look at verses 14 and 15 in Jude, you'll find that. But does anyone know the name Methuselah? You know that name? He was the what? What's Methuselah known for? Oldest that ever lived, as far as we know. But does anyone know what his name means? That's correct. His death shall bring. Now, I'll tell you something else. If you look at all of the things, as far as I can tell, Methuselah died the year of the flood. Now, his great-great-grandpappy there was talking about the fact that God's going to judge America, or going to judge not America, but going to judge the world, and then Methuselah comes along and says, hey, his name means that when this happens. And by the way, when he died, it did happen. Now, I'll show you one more thing. Look in Genesis chapter 6, look in verse 3. Another comparison here. And the Lord, and notice what it says, and the Lord said, this is Genesis 6, verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. You got that? Now, I buy this. I was taught this in Bible school, and I concur with this, but I got a thought to throw at you. Does that mean that man's life span is 120 years? I'll tell you something interesting. Noah preached 120 years. Did you know that? No. Could it also mean this, that God says, listen, the day's coming when I'm going to destroy this place. You got 120 years to get right with God. Can I tell you something? God has been merciful to this nation. I grew up in an America that the Word of God was preached in. You could go to any church, Methodist, Baptist, Ford, Chevrolet, whatever you want to go to, and they all preach the gospel. That's not the day we live in today. By the way, far of the churches today to ever hear that the gospel is preached clearly, that there is a place called hell, and that we are sinners. It don't happen a whole lot. But, you know, how many of y'all are glad of your heritage? How many of you are glad that you, if you had a godly grandparents or godly parents, you better praise God, because I'll tell you something right now. The greatest thing that my parents gave me was a godly heritage, and they gave it to me. They passed it on to me. And listen, you young people up here, you teenagers up here, young people, your parents and your grandparents and all, that's not history. That's your heritage. I know some of you mamas and daddies don't do right, but I want to tell you something. This old preacher right here, listen to me, listen carefully. One of these days you're going to go into one of these funeral homes over here, and you're going to look over there at some old bald-headed preacher, and you're going to say, man, Lester's dead. Number one, don't believe, what's the name say? I can't remember his name. I don't believe it, because I will be more alive than I've ever been. But number two, I want you to say, you know what? That old man preached what he believed. And I'm going to trust what he preached, and I'm going to live what he preached, because I believe what God's Word says. I want, more than anything else, I want you to know that. When you come to see me in the cemetery, at the funeral home over there, whatever my wife decides to do with me, I really don't care. But if you know something, do you realize that God pulled off this whole plan with just one man and his family? Did you get a picture of that? God pulled off this whole deal. He didn't need to have a committee. He didn't have to set up anything. He took one man named Noah and basically saved you and I because of what one man did. And it's an important point to remember that God can take one family and one man and one woman and make a difference. Sometimes we look at huge numbers, and I realize that. Sometimes, I hope and pray God allows us to build that building right out in the middle of that cow pasture over there, and the church grows to see hundreds of folks come to church here. It'll excite me, because if they're here, they can get saved. Amen? And that's the whole purpose. But we've got to be careful. Now, let me give you 3 points, three or four. I may cut it off after that. But number one, understand something about this issue about Noah, about the ark. What saved Noah is always in question here. Well, it's really not. Turn back to Hebrews, if you will, and hold your place in between, because we are going to jump back and forth and back and forth. But in Hebrews chapter number 11, I want you to look first of all. Well, I'll tell you what to do. Hold your place in 11, and we'll just go back to chapter 6. And look into my text verse there. In verse number 8, chapter 6 of Genesis, it says, but Noah found, what's the next word? Grace. God's grace is God's part in salvation, unless you're a Calvinist. And from the standpoint, you will disagree with me. If you are, we can sit down and talk about this later. But understand, what does John 3:16 say? For God did what? For God so loved the world that he did what? Does it say, first of all, man has to have faith? No. It says, for God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave his only who? Begotten Son, that whosoever does what? You see, faith is attached to that verse. You got it. The word believe is attached in there. But you know, I love Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by, are you what? And by the way, by grace are you saved. Now, grace is necessary. Grace is what God gave to you and I when we did not deserve it. Amen? And we never going to deserve it. God knew we never were going to deserve it, and you never will deserve it. No matter how good you may get, you're always still going to be bad. I sound kind of bad, our preacher, but you're going to have days that you're going to do real good, and you're going to have days you're going to do real bad, just to be honest with you. But thank God for grace. Now, that's God's meaning. But what is man's part? Well, if you go back to Hebrews, you'll notice here, what does it say in Hebrews chapter 11? The first thing, by faith, Noah. What in the world is faith? Well, Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says this, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? Grace put him on the cross. Your faith and trusting in him energized that so you could be saved. There's no, man, I love my Calvinistic friends. They basically believe that man has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. That God, it's all automatic. That means God sent so many people to hell and so many people to heaven. Let me tell you something. If that's the God we've got, then we have a very, very bad God, because he never picked. Can I tell you something? Now, God knew who was going to be saved, because he can see the beginning and he can see the end. But the choice factor is man's. Man chooses to believe what God's word says. And by the way, we know by faith that Noah believed what God said. Now, that verse talks about by faith. My wife's got a, she's got a, who's got an iPhone in here? You got an iPhone or whatever? You got something like that? My wife's got an iPhone. If it had been in our day, here's what would have happened. You got a Noah building out there. Somebody would have in their hand their iPhone. And on that iPhone, they would have an app. And in that app, there would be a thing. Deborah's got one, and it is a weather app. That thing tells you when the wind's blowing too much. That thing tells you when the rain is coming. That thing shows you everything. You got it. You got something telling you what kind of weather's going on and everything. And by the way, they'd say, well, the reason Noah knew all this is because his app was telling him all about it. And by the way, y'all know good and well that's not how it worked. It worked because God, listen, because he put his trust in faith in what God told him. Amen? God told him what is going to happen. Now, listen, in order for you to understand what God's word is saying, you have to have a ear. I used to do this. I'll do this for y'all. This is Mr. Hayden.
Good morning, and welcome to the happiest place
that's
on
free.
Earth.
That's free for y'all. I know that's free. World is happening. We don't have to accept the mess that's going on. We're not going to throw in the towel. We're going to believe what God told Noah, and we're going to point them towards the ark that's going to save them. I love the verse over in 3 John in verse number 1, chapter number 1, verse 4. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You hear that verse? I have no greater joy. That means there's nothing more better than to see your children come to know the Lord and to walk with him today. Let me ask you this morning. You don't know where you're standing right now. Many of you, you don't know. You say, preacher, I'm saved. Well, is your whole family saved? Noah could have just, he could have, you know, Noah would have reached many, but many wouldn't listen to him. You say, preacher, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to be pointing them towards the ark. Noah preached for 120 years. And the ones that didn't hear it could have walked up and says, man, what in the world are you doing? What are you doing over there on Fannin Road? What are you doing out in that cow pasture? What are you doing? Listen, my friend, we're trying to reach this world for Christ. We want to see you saved today. How many here this morning say, preacher, I'm not sure about where I'd go right now. If my last breath was taken right now, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died right now where I'd go. Who can say, preacher, would you please pray for me? I'm not sure about my salvation. I didn't ask you if you was a Baptist. I didn't ask you, was you ever baptized? I didn't ask you if you are a good person. I asked, has ever been a day that you realized that you were on your way to hell and that you needed a Savior? And in Romans chapter 10, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, Noah could have stayed outside the ark, but he would have died. But Noah chose to get and go into that ark and to obey God. Obey God today. Say, preacher, please pray for me. I'm not sure this morning about my salvation. Anyone in the little church, anyone this morning, put your hand up and put it back down so I can see you. I want to pray for you. Anyone this morning. All righty. Second of all, you're here this morning and you're saved. I'm going to make that assumption. How many here this morning say, preacher, this has been a weak area for me. This has been an area that I have been weak in. I really and truly haven't done all that I could to reach folks for Christ. And I recognize that this morning, Pastor. I want to do more. I want to walk with the Lord. I want my youngest to see me walking with the Lord. And I want him to know. I want my children. I want my grandchildren. I want the folks who lives around me to see Christ in me. And preacher, this morning, this is on my heart. Preacher, would you pray for me? Anyone, just by a raised hand. Preacher, pray for me. Yes. Yes, hands up all over. Let's all stand this morning. Let's all stand. We're going to sing an old song here in a minute. What page, hon? 167 this morning. Get your hymnals out. The old-fashioned altar is open right now. 167, brother, you got that song? 167 this morning. Don't come this morning. Lord spoke to your heart. I know some of you got children that are wayward. I know that. You got youngins that ain't living for the Lord. I know that. Come this morning. Old-fashioned altar's open. Get on your knees today and ask God. God, I want to see him saved today. How about your life? Your walk? Your talk? Are you hearing today? Or have you closed your ears to the message? Come this morning. The old-fashioned altars are open. Come this morning. Maybe you got a loved one. Maybe you got a brother or a sister or an aunt or an uncle. Maybe you've got grandchildren right now that aren't walking. Maybe you got a mom or dad right now that's not. What's at stake this morning is tremendous. Come this morning. The altars are open. Come. Come. Oh, God, come. Oh, God, work today, Lord. Oh, God, come, Lord. I got a nephew and a niece right now. Got another baby on the way. Both of them are lost. He's all into bodybuilding. She's all into just being who she is. She's a good girl, but she's lost. Come on this morning as we pray. Come. Come today. Come today. Young person, come today. Where are you at? How about your friends there at Carver? Your friends there? Your buddies there? What are you doing to reach them? What are you doing to reach them? Come this morning. Come. 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 Come while there's still time. Come. Come this morning. Come this morning. Come. Come while there's still a chance. Come today. Come today. Don't put this off. Don't put this off. See, I heard it before, preacher. I heard it so many times I don't want to hear it no more. Yeah, I recognize that today.
And the last.
It's called complacency. Complacency will keep you where the Lord don't want you to be. Come this morning. Come. Come. Come today.
Because
come this morning.
Thy promise come. I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
The last verse.
I come.
They're going to play through softly just a minute more. We'll be done. We won't sing anymore. I feel like if the Lord speaks to your heart, you'll move. I don't think you have to work up a group of people. The Holy Spirit will work you up. You don't respond to him, you surely ain't going to respond to this old bald-headed preacher. I know that. You come this morning. You come.